por tener una mejor organización aquí en Chula Vista y de apoyo también, yo creo, de la ciudad de Chula Vista, del mayor, del comisionado. Bueno, yo soy una madre de tres hijos, dos de ellos ya se graduaron de Casopa High School. Ahorita tengo una niña de 13 años que... Tengo una niña de 13 años que está en el grado 8 en Casopa Middle, que es una excelente estudiante y estoy muy orgullosa de ella. Pues la verdad...
I have a daughter. She's 13 years old. I'm very proud of her. She is a student at the Castle Park Middle School.
Okay. Bueno, mi nombre es Mirela Acevedo. Soy ciudadana de los Estados Unidos. Como les dije, tengo tres hijos.
My name is Minerva Acevedo. I'm a U.S. citizen and I have three kids.
Hay un ambiente de respeto y preocupación de los padres de familia en apoyo con la principal y tenemos buena relación con ella.
We have a very good relationship with the principal of Castle Park.
Castle Park Middle, creo. Hago la aclaración. La verdad, como madre de familia y las experiencia que he pasado, soy madre soltera, hace muchos años que me divorcié y estoy sacando a mis hijos adelante sola.
I'm a single mom. Yes.
Hace falta conseguir trabajo a los padres, porque hay un programa de Chula Vista Promise y Savoy Community Services para dar educación, clases de Zumba y esas cosas, pero sí siento yo que hace falta como más enforce para que realmente las personas que quieren trabajar los puedan ayudar a que se acomoden a trabajar en diversas partes.
Okay. There is a big need and a big gap of jobs and employment here in Chula Vista. There is a program called Promise Chula Vista, which is very good. They provide different type of services and classes, including Zumba. But I think there are still more jobs should be enforced in Chula Vista.
Mm-hmm. Y también hay un problema de sobrepoblación, de que se han hecho estudios de que muchas personas pues viven en los mismos hogares pues por lo mismo que si no tienen un trabajo, ¿cómo van a pagar una renta, verdad? Aunque sea affordable, las personas tienen que, los adultos tienen que ser autosuficientes. Entonces también siento yo que hace falta también más apoyo o más información de los lugares para tener housing, ¿verdad? Y ayudar a las personas que necesitan tener sus propios hogares o independizarse.
There is an overpopulation problem here in Chula Vista. I'm requesting more housing for some families here in the area. Sometimes many people have to live in one small house. So too many people living in one house due to the lack of housing services.
Okay, mi comunidad alrededor de Castle Park High y Castle Park Middle, por más de 10 años he estado aquí viviendo. Hay unos parques que están entre sobre la Hilltop, entre Renstra y Orange, en ambos lados de la avenida Hilltop, que están muy abandonados, deteriorados, la verdad, feos. Les hace falta verde y color a los juegos. Nunca se me ha apetecido caminar por ahí o para comer como camping, porque no están, se ven como abandonados, la verdad.
My community interest is around Castle Park High and Castle Park Middle. I've been living there for longer than 10 years. The parks around that area, they're in around the Orange Avenue and Riestra, they're in a very bad shape. That's why I never go camping. I never go and do any type of activity around that those two parks.
Okay. También no tenemos algún mercado cerca, tenemos que bajar hasta Fúfoles, que es lo más económico y que es un buen, bueno, yo considero que es un buen mercado. Y hace falta tener más vigilancia y dar confianza a la comunidad de aquí de Chula Vista, de Castle Park. Yo siento que necesitamos establecer un verdadero vínculo entre los vecinos, los padres de familia y nuestro distrito de apoyo, una verdadera comunión con nuestro representante y el mayor de Chula Vista para prosperar en todos los aspectos.
I'm sorry. Also, we don't have too many shopping centers around our area. Mm-hmm. The only store, the only grocery store we have close by is the Food for Less, which is a great store. However, I think we need more. I think that we need to create stronger bonds and stronger relationships in between the parents in the community and also with the mayor of Chula Vista.
Yo soy una persona que he participado en, como voluntaria en Registrar Voters, que he hablado con el público, con la gente, que me he dado cuenta que en realidad muy pocas personas vamos a votar por los intereses de, pues, de California, de San Diego, de aquí de Chula Vista, y necesitamos todos nosotros hablar con nuestros hijos y nuestras amistades y decir lo que está pasando. Porque si no podemos votar a algunos, pero pueden votar nuestros hijos o nuestros amigos, porque esto es muy importante.
I've been involved in the GOTV movement. I've been very involved in the community. I think that we need to talk to our neighbors, talk to our friends about this process. I think it's very important.
Y pues para despedirme, yo siento que bueno, no sé, a lo mejor muchas personas, ahorita creo que vemos muchas madres solteras, crear como un Single Mothers Empowerment, Enforcement y Support para, pues necesitamos como también como un soporte moral, sabes que yo puedo ir a tal parte, así como hay ayuda para violencia doméstica, y inmigrantes, también creo que debería haber un soporte para las madres solteras. No nomás nosotros, en todo California, en todos Estados Unidos. Y pues gracias. Gracias por escuchar.
I'm a single mom, and I would like to suggest that we could create a mother's empowerment, enforcement, support. It's very difficult to be a single mom. I would like to not only hear it in San Diego or Chula Vista, but all over California. Thank you.
Y pues gracias. Y disculpen los nervios. Gracias.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias, señora Acevedo. I want to apologize. Is that when we do it to make it a little bit smoother? Is we gave each of the commissioners one of those little audífonos and have you speak. As they're speaking in Spanish, have you tried translate simultaneously? Okay, that way it go a little bit smoother. Because it's the commissioners who are here to hear the public testimony first and foremost. I want to introduce Commissioner Richter. Rick, they'll stand up. Is that he is with our commission. Unfortunately, came in just a little bit late, but I do want to recognize his attendance. So our next speaker is Bobby Godinez. Godinez or Godinez?
You're good. So, first of all, thank you for continuing on with these workshops. It's important that you get the feedback from the Chula Vista residents. This is we're talking about the future of Chula Vista here. I'm currently a 28-year resident of Chula Vista. I moved here 28 years ago. attend here on the west side of Chula Vista on 4th and Naples. I attended the Chula Vista Junior High School there, Chula Vista High School. And now my daughter is attending Chula Vista High School. She went right next door to the MAC Head Start program, right next door here is where she started going to school. So currently, I purchased a home 8 years ago, and I'm a resident on the west side of the 5 freeway. So there's only about 19 homes there. And so I'm on Ada Street, right in front of the salt mine there. So, you know, what I would like to see is for my community of interest is for us to be a part of, you know, this Chula Vista Bayfront community, this Chula Vista Bayfront workshop that's, or actually the construction that's going on right now. You know, that's one of the largest construction projects going on the West Coast. And, you know, we're fortunate to be able to have that in our community. With that said, you know, I would like to see some of the tax revenue that's going to be generated. Okay, so yes, going back. So there's about 19 homes here in this area here, and those are the only homes on the west side of this whole Chula Vista area here. And you know, so if you look at your maps, you've noticed all of this construction that's going on here, the Chula Vista Bayfront project, which you know is going to be great for our city, great for our community, but it's not so great on some of our aging, public transportation, our aging infrastructures there. So it would be nice. I mean, that's one large community of interest that these folks have here, and I'd like to see some of the lines drawn, including, you know, butting up to the northern part of Chula Vista, National City, all the way down to the Otay Valley Road here. It would be nice if we can extend it to the 805. However, I know there's a large population here, so maybe the Hilltop Street here can be one of the barriers here. But again, I think this is a large community of interest here based off of the aging infrastructures and some of the public transportation. So I live here, and I also go to church here on 3rd Avenue or 4th Avenue at Most Precious Blood. And my daughter goes to the high school here. So, you know, I live in this community. I worship in the community. And again, you know, looking forward at some of the revenues that's going to be created. And not only that, you know, we're going to look at some of the traffic that's going to be coming through. They're planning a 1,500 room resort in this area, as you all are aware. So obviously, you know, with that and some of the campgrounds that they're planning on building, and the new bike trails and all the parks are going to be here, you know, we are going to see an increase in traffic. So, you know, we do need to make sure that some of those revenues are creating a stable infrastructure here and public transportation to ensure that, you know, all of us that live in this community, we're not, you know, infringed upon by the extra traffic. So I thank you guys for putting this on again, and I would like to see really something drawn along the lines where we are including this area here as a districting area. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. That was well done. Okay, so I'm gonna hold this pointer so that way we can give it to you and you can point to the map. So next one is Ana Partida. Ana? There we go, there's a little button right there.
Let me get my bearings here.
Oh, let me give you this.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm very bad geographically speaking, but essentially my community consists of, let me work this thing. Sorry. essentially from Paseo Ladera, which would be, for those that don't know the roads, just slightly east of the Costco on H Street and the Chula Vista Hospital, west all the way to the north and southern boundaries of Chula Vista. I've lived in Chula Vista since 1987, with the exception of 3 years that I went to law school in Boston. I moved to Boston with the intent of remaining there because I fell in love with the city. The thing is, after graduating, I realized that Boston didn't reflect my culture. I carried around a bottle of hot sauce for 3 years because I couldn't find things just as simple as tortillas or hot sauce anywhere that I was living. That and the fact that I missed looking at people who looked like me. And the thing that I love about everybody that's here today is it really is representative of the diversity that Chula Vista has. I've seen that a lot in this city, and I haven't seen that anywhere else. So when I graduated, I decided to come back because of how much I loved Chula Vista. I graduated from Castle Park. All of my siblings, with the exception of my youngest rebel brother, graduated from Castle Park. I'm very proud of the programs that they've developed, for example, the International Baccalaureate Program. I don't know if many of you are aware of the benefits that provides, but it's one of the few existing programs in San Diego, and I believe it's immensely helpful to the residents of Chula Vista to reflect your own diversity and your own culture wherever you go, whether it be the schools or your employer or the markets. That was, you know, one of the deciding factors in coming back was being able to go to a market that had the kind of food that I wanted and the kind of food that I don't normally eat that I wanted to try. You don't see that, and you don't recognize the importance of things like that until you move away. When I did return to Chula Vista in 2002, and I was only gone for 3 years, but when I returned, I was able to buy a home, interestingly enough, beside an old high school teacher of mine. I didn't know that at the time, but it was nice to see that. I recently went and talked to him about how long he's been in Chula Vista, just unrelated to these meetings, because I didn't even know these were going on until yesterday. It was nice to hear that he had remained in the exact same place where he had taught and raised his family. He's been there close to 40-some years now. I know 8 of my neighbors on a very, very personal basis. We socialize together. I don't know how many people can say that nowadays. That's a very rare thing to have nowadays. And these are neighbors that, you know, are 60 years older, 30 years older, some that are 20 years younger than me. We have, socially speaking, very few things in common. The one thing that binds us is our commonality to that particular neighborhood. I recently went to a high school reunion. I won't tell you which one, but I went to a high school reunion, and I was very happy to see that so many of my colleagues, that my classmates, had actually either remained in Chula Vista or returned to Chula Vista, some of them being gone even for as long as 5 or 10 years. They all ultimately return to Chula Vista because they're the ties that bind. Your high school experiences, your job experiences, the place you first kissed a boy, the prom, all of these things bind who you are. And so for me, it's important to see the diversity in Chula Vista and the same shared history. For example, Candy Cane Lane is something that I only have to say the words, and many of you have memories of that, either taking your children or going there yourselves. Castle Park High School, I mean, the shared experiences and the involvement that used to be there in the community, I would like to see come back. But there are things that concern me that have changed over the years. For example, the abandoned Kmart on 3rd Street, to me, is horribly depressing. The first cafeteria that used to be there is gone, and it's those lots have sat abandoned for, I think, close to 20 years. That, to me, is unacceptable. So I would like to see the redistricting taking into account the need for those types of things to be addressed, for the city to condemn those properties so that the owners have to act on it, to do something about the abandoned properties, because, like it or not, it reflects on the community as a whole. And I would also, I share Ms. Acevedo's concern in that I see a lack of affordable housing in this area, and particularly in the area that I described, which is west of the 805. There is a huge need for affordable housing that I would like to see addressed, so I'd like to have that taken into account for the redistricting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senora. is that, but she raises a great point about addressing the abandoned Kmart. It is an eyesore, but that's the reason for the whole redistricting, is so that way we can elect a council member that lives in this district who hopefully can get this thing taken care of. All right. So our next speaker, I don't know if this is a tag team or not, but Jesus Partida. There we go. And here's the, if you want to use the point. Okay.
Hi, folks. Basically, if we're talking geographic, my life is basically a little snow globe that revolves within a 3-mile radius of the San Diego Country Club. Economically speaking, it's pretty diverse. You have trailer parks within walking distance of this place. You also have $1.2 million houses within walking distance of the place. So it's all over the place, economically speaking. But geographically speaking, we're still talking this little area right there. Demographically, my sister's right. You look at this crowd here, and this is what reflects what is unique about Chula Vista. To be perfectly honest, until I moved here to Chula Vista and went to Castle Park High School, I wasn't even aware of Filipinos. I had no idea. It just did not enter into my mind. And it's like it was eye-opening that all of a sudden, not only did you have Mexicans with you, you had Filipinos, you had, Indians, you had all sorts of people that, growing up in North Carolina, it's like night and day. And maintaining that diversity, to me, is important. I'm not very comfortable when it's too many of one particular ethnic group. Linguistically, again, all over the place, you have Spanish, you have Tagalog, you have English. As far as what I consider my community, it's the parks, it's the schools. The parks, to me, the Hilltop Park, the Bayfront, the libraries, all of that is important to me, but I've noticed that there's a lot more funding going on east of the 805. You look at those facilities, some of these park facilities like Salt Creek. My goodness, I mean, you compare that to Loma Linda Park or the pool. The disparity is tremendous. What defines for me Chula Vista is a little downtown area off of 3rd. To me, it's important to maintain that little Mayberry kind of feel to it. And that's what concerns me about the development down here. This is going to change the nature of everything over here. Once this gets big and you have, bars and resorts and hotels and all of that stuff, that's going to change what's going on over here. And what's my concern is that you're not going to have the type of development that we need to have here. Why do we need to commute 25, 30 minutes from Chula Vista to find Class A office space? Why are there so many liquor stores, pawn shops, title loan businesses on this side of Chula Vista, on the east side of west side of Chula Vista? I don't see a lot of those businesses on that side. Why is that? Affordable housing, again, is a big issue. You do have a lot of people, stacking up double or to a house because they just can't afford the rents. And, again, we need better kind of economic development in this area. The empty lots, the empty buildings, the abandoned buildings. There's a house off of Hilltop and Oxford near the 7-Eleven there that has been had some sort of construction issue with permits. This was 10 years ago, and it's still there. They haven't done anything about it. And, I don't see that kind of garbage going on the east side. I don't see abandoned, commercial properties. I don't see abandoned houses. I do see it on this side. And even when the city dumps money into a place, they let it go to crap. I mean, you look at the park off of Oxford behind the Walmart on Broadway. Beautiful park after they rebuilt that HSS county building. Beautiful park, beautifully done. But it's not much more than a parking lot for homeless folks. I don't have any problem with homeless folks. I mean, they're people, but we should provide them with services so that people can actually use the park. Right now, all it is it's a open air campsite. But that's all I have to say about this.
Well done. I forgot to also say that I anticipate that all the translation that's needed today is in Spanish, but we, for those who do need translation in Filipino, Chinese, or Vietnamese, we do have our translators back there. So if you speak only Filipino, Chinese, and Vietnamese, you probably didn't understand anything I just said, but we do have those translators back there. Also, I had stated earlier that for those who speak Spanish only, we do want to hear your testimony. And the commissioners have headphones to hear the translation in English. What we'll do after that is Senora Villegas will come back here, and for those of you who do not speak Spanish, she will come back here and give a summary of that testimony, okay? So that way everybody understands what everybody is saying today. All right. So let's go next with Jose Arredondo. Okay, Jose, I know you speak English, so.
I'm going to say it in Spanish and in English. I don't know if you mind. Buenos días. Me llamo Josué Arredondo y soy maestro de inglés en Southwestern College. Vine para pedir que la Honorable Comisión une la comunidad de interés, los latinos del oeste de Chula Vista. La gente de nuestra comunidad tiene muchas experiencias comunes. Muchos de nuestros hijos han sido estudiantes en la preparatoria de Castle Park y la secundaria de Castle Park. Leemos libros en español de la biblioteca en South Chula Vista, la Biblioteca Amarilla. Hay muchos negocios pequeños al lado del Valle de Otay. He compuesto mi carro allí por un precio muy barato. Compramos abarrotes en Target y Costco. Nuestra comunidad es diferente que Eastlake con sus track housing. Somos diferentes que la área de Hilltop, donde viven muchos caucásicos o white people. Nuestra comunidad es similar a San Isidro. Tenemos mercados en nuestra comunidad como el Internacional 2000 y tiendas de descuento como Food for Less. Tenemos el trolley que une las poblaciones de Tijuana con nosotros. Por favor, mantenga unida la área de nuestra comunidad del oeste de Chula Vista. My name is Josué Arredondo, and I'm an English teacher at Southwestern College. I'm here to request that you keep my community of interest together, our community, the Latino community in West Chula Vista. My community has many common experiences. Many students attend Castle Park High and Castle Park Middle. They check out books at the South Chula Vista Library, the Yellow Library. There's a strong, small business community north of the Otay River Valley that hosts with a host of small businesses. I have had my car repaired there several times inexpensively. We shop at Target and Costco. Our community is different from Eastlake and the large track housing community. We are also different from Hilltop, where there is a higher concentration of Caucasians. Our community is similar to San Isidro. We have a thriving Latino markets like International 2000 or 2000 in Spanish, and quality discount shopping like Food for Less. The trolley also brings many people that live in Tijuana to our area. I'm here to remind the commission to please keep as much of West Chula Vista intact as possible. Thank you.
And here's a translation if you need it.
Thank you very much. Okay, next up is Diana Lin.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. My name is Diana Lin. Thank you, sir. My community of interest, well, first of all, I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about myself. I have three children that attend Castle Park Elementary School. I was a resident of Chula Vista for about 14 years. I moved to the city of Imperial Beach, but I'm also an active member of my church, and I'm very involved with Chula Vista. My interest is a park. It's called Eucalyptus Park. That's my community of interest, and it's located at 56 4th Avenue. I believe it's around there by the DMV. It's on 4 and C Street. It's right next to the big Target that's abandoned too. There's another building there that's abandoned. Where I am worried about this place is because I have, as a servant of the Lord, I have been going to that park for a year and 4 months to feed all the homeless that live there. And that includes also people that are involved with drugs that don't live there, but they go there to get food. And not only that, we also share the gospel with them. And during all that time, I've seen a lot of things. And according to the Chula Vista police, this park is one of the parks that has more crime. I've seen a lot of things going on there. I see people using drugs, selling drugs, prostitution. I've seen children, families that lose their home and they ended up there for some reason. I've seen children sleeping in that park. I call for help, and a lot of times, nobody does anything. But my main concern is, yes, like somebody has said, you know, people are not able to use the park safely because during the day they are drinking in front of people, they're using drugs. But a lot of them are good people, you know. They're in that situation because they went through something that made them fall that low. But a lot of them want to get out of there, and that's what we're there to help them spiritually. But I don't see what we need more support as far as having a building around there. I'm talking about a rehabilitation center for all that people that want to get out of the streets. There's a lot of people that want to. There's a lot of people that even want to attend church services, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't want them in the church. And I'm talking about my own brothers and sisters. Some of them feel like, you know, they have a disease or they're too dirty. They want to go, but there's not places where they can take a shower. So there's not a place where they can get help. Sometimes it gets really cold during the winter. They sleep underneath the benches. Now the police don't want them there. They kick them out of there. They send them to another area. But then they come back, or, you know, they go and leave trash to another place. They just move from place to place. And I see that there is no solution. Also, you know, they give them tickets. You know, the police gives them tickets all the time. But they don't have money to pay for the tickets because they don't have a job. And so I don't see a solution for this, and I see the problem growing. I had a paper where I had them sign their names before we hand the food to them. And I had count over 250 people during all that time attending our services. And that's really something that we should think about, because the crime is growing. People that are homeless, there's more and more, and nobody's doing anything about it. And that's true. People cannot use the parks safely, because if they go there, they get robbed, or they, you know, their children are exposed to see things that they don't supposed to see. At that park, there's people that had been killed. There was a shooting not long ago. A man got burned. I think you heard that people that has been found dead underneath bushes. Sometimes they, you know, things happen like that, and it's sad because there's more and more people in that park. So what I'm asking is for a building where these people can go and get help. They want to get help. They do want to get help, but there is no place for them to go. So a lot of times, you know, they don't want to go far because they don't have money for the trolley, or, you know, a lot of them are handicapped too, or they're sick. We just moved. There's a person that was there for 10 years. I'm not going to say his name. He served this country, and he ended up in that park for 10 years. And he was sent to the hospital. He was there. We went there to pray for him. We asked the Lord to help him get out of the streets, because he was sick all the time. And he was sick too. The things he had could be contagious to people. And they also had a problem at that park of lice on the grass. It was really bad. So this man was able to be put in a home, finally, where you know, he was going to be taken care of. He was very sick, but that's the hospital help, and God too, because, you know, the prayer was answered. So what I'm saying is, if all this is happening, we should do something about it and help these people, because they're human just like us. They went through a problem. You know, I'm sure all of us have someone in our family that drinks or do drugs. And I'm sorry, I gotta cut it off. But I'm only asking for a place where they can get rehabilitation and we can have a safe park. And that's for help for other people too. And thank you. I'm sorry, I talk too much.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much for your passion and your community work. We all appreciate it very much. For this public testimony is that even though I applaud Ms. Lynn's testimony, and we should all respect each other's testimony, is that it's okay if you list your grievances about the political process here in Chula Vista. God knows there's a lot of problems, especially on the west side. But remember, we're here to help us identify these communities of interest so that way we can create the districts to hopefully address a lot of your grievances. So as you talk about your complaints, help us find a solution, okay? So next one up is Jessica. Is, I don't know if it's Coblan or Cobian. Okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica Covian. I'm a resident of Rancho del Rey, a community east of the 805. Let me point it over here. Let's see. So it would be at about here. I've been living there for 11 years. I went to Ota Ranch High School, Rancho del Rey Middle School, McMillan Elementary School. So I pretty much know the area. I know that most of us there speak Spanish from north of Mexico, Tagalog, and English. That community is also, of course, you know, mostly Filipino, Mexican immigrants from northern Mexico, and that composes the majority of the demographics. A shared history that we have in Rancho del Rey is the hardships that we went through during the 2007 and 2008 housing bubble. A lot of my neighbors lost their homes, so just driving up a block for a block on East J Street, you would see something from 5 to 6 homes being foreclosed, a lot of homes put on sale, a lot of my neighbors left, neighbors that have lived there long before I was, you know, I was even there. So that was definitely a hardship that we all went through. And, you know, they ended up, the banks ended up getting those homes. It's getting better now. You know, I'm getting new neighbors. Some of them are now being rented, but it's definitely a concern that folks have as they go in that community, because there's that history that, you know, so many of those residents left. And I really also wish that the city had gone more involved when that was going on. So that's definitely a hardship. And so this community that I'm specifically talking about is east of the 805, going all the way down to Olympic Parkway. So this, I believe this would be Olympic Parkway. And then all the way up by, so before getting to Bonita, before getting to Bonita, and then to the east, it stretches as far as Otay Lakes Road, so close to Southwestern College. And actually, Southwestern College is a really important landmark for my community. There's a lot of my neighbors that go to Southwestern, that are Southwestern alumni. You know, coffee shops are just filled with students from Southwestern. Another important thing to keep in mind, it's closer more to this area, is Voyager Park, where a lot of the families go with their children during the weekend to practice sports. It's a very active community. That park is just so visited. We have the YMCA also. It's not even a mile away, and a lot of my neighbors also go to the YMCA there. There's Corpus Christi Catholic Church too. A lot of my neighbors go to Corpus Christi, Otay Ranch. So that's definitely some of the important places within this community. And I would very much like for this community to be united, to not be divided, because we are unique, and I do believe it's a bit different from west of the 805, just because the houses have more history there, right? The east of the 805 is newer, and I do believe that we're similar to Otay Ranch. It's similar demographics. I mean, going to school at Otay Ranch High School, folks were also from the same socioeconomic status, and also Filipino and Mexican. So I would definitely feel like I was in that community too. Different from Eastlake. I do feel that it's different from Eastlake, socioeconomically and demographically as well. I do believe that Eastlake is in a little bit of a more higher socioeconomic status, and the demographics are also different because there's a little bit more Caucasians, African American folks as well. And yeah, so that's the community that I would like to be kept together in this districting process.
Rachel Del Rey.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Don't take off with that little pen. That little, yeah, one of those, huh? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for the public testimony so far. You've done a great job, and you've given us some great information. Next up is Rosa Moya.
Good morning, everyone, and I want to appreciate this opportunity for you to listen to our concerns about how to keep our communities united. My name is Rosa Maria Moya, and I lived in the Vistan Apartments, which is a very large apartment complex in the west of Chula Vista, very highly commercial area, somewhere around right there. I mean, I can see the names of the streets from here, but it's west of Broadway. I regard my community physically. My community needs are within F Street, the public library on F Street. I use the library very much. And I walk to Sprouts Market on 3rd and J. I can also walk all the way to Food for Less on Palomar Avenue, which is close to Broadway. I can walk all that area for my needs. I walk to work from H Street to from Oakland Avenue to G Street, which is right behind my apartment complex. I walk 2 blocks to work. And so I survive in that area, which I would outline it somewhere between F Street, down up to 3rd Street, all the way down to Palomar Street. That is where I have most of my activities for survival, earning a living, shopping for food, buying clothing. My daughter uses the marina on J Street for exercising, for long walks, for getting some fresh air. I walk with her sometimes. I feel I need to look at my notes so that I don't skip anything. So I said that I lived in that area between almost 5 years. Basically, I see that the community where I live is composed of families and individuals who rent apartments. We are a heavy population, condensed population into apartment buildings, where I feel some of our rights and liberties are limited because we live in apartments. Because we're not allowed to have, for instance, a plant outside of our front door. We have to use public laundromat because we're not allowed. There's no room for us to have a washing machine and a dryer in our own apartment. So we're spending a lot of money just keeping our clothes clean so we can function on a day-to-day basis. And I feel there's a sense of unity. I have a sense of unity with families, low-income families, who have to rent apartments in order to have shelter, and who join with other members of the families and perhaps other unknown families in order to have a place to live. Otherwise, we would not be able to afford the rent. We could end up homeless. For instance, with my salary, I feel that I don't have enough hours. Even though I do have a good salary for the hours that I do work, if I pay for an apartment for myself, I would have very little money for food after that. And therefore, my daughter, my son, and I are joined together paying our rent so that we don't end up homeless. Even though my son earns a little more, he's helping us. He cares about us. The social economic characteristics of my community include Latinos, mulattoes, black people, Filipinos, white people, and all kinds of religions, variety of religions. Lots of students, pandillas, I forgot the word in English, gangs. And there's quite a bit of evidence of prostitution in the streets where I walk. I have had bad experiences where men are staring at me walking by, trying to figure out whether I'm selling my services or not. That's not a good feeling. It's my community, and there's a lot of families living there. But I do see the evidence. I do see the women, okay, who sell themselves. So I said that the apartment complex where I live, there's about 355 apartments. There's a lot of businesses. They remind me of state projects apartment. There's a lot of movement from other people that come through there. I think it's quite international. We have a lot of business from Mexicans living across the border. They spend a lot of money there. We have Food for Less and many other places of interest for them. We have a very important restaurant, Tacos El Gordo, that attract Japanese people and people from many other areas. And I desire that our community be kept together so that we may have sufficient representation, so that hopefully our life in the apartment buildings can improve. That we may have more rights and freedoms as the rest of the communities who have more space for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosa. Rosa, don't go away. Is that we had talked a little bit earlier, and you had suggested maybe on the west side, because we heard this the other day or yesterday, is maybe dividing the west side along 3rd Street, right?
3rd Street, up and
just
down.
Just talk a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel that the, there is a strong, I forget my words. I think that up and down 3rd Street, north to south, west of Chula Vista, there seems to be a common cluster of people living in apartments there. And I think the fact that we live in apartments does produce some sense of difference between the west of Chula Vista.
Thank you, Rosa. I wanted the commissioners to hear that. Okay. So next up is Rachel Moreno or Morena. Oh, another one. Try to take the pen. It is a lovely little pointer. Okay, let me give this.
Hi, I'm Rachel Moreno, and I'm actually a resident here in Chula Vista. I'm right off of Orange. I think this is the area here somewhere. Orange and Max Street, right up above, or above, of, yeah, Loma Verde. I've been a resident of Chula Vista for over 20 years, and I come as a resident, but many of you might know me from South Bay Community Services. I've also worked with South Bay for going on my 11th year now. I've worked with this community for several years, and my area of interest in specifically in the last 3 years has been right along all the way up from H Street and all the way in down to like Orange Avenue. So that whole Castle Park neighborhood, Hilltop neighborhood is my area of interest. You know, we have a huge grant, which is the Promise Neighborhood Grant, but it's very personal to me. Both of my children attend the Castle Park neighborhood schools. My friends, my people that my kids went to school in the early years with attend Hilltop High School, Middle, and the areas there of Chula Vista High School. And so my main areas, we have a huge obesity issue here in the city of Chula Vista on the west side, of course. And when you look at all these really pretty green parks and you look at all the little non-existent green areas here, and don't let that fool you, that's a golf course that we're not allowed to be on. But our parks and physical activity are very limited here in our west side of Chula Vista. And they wonder why our children aren't out there getting active. The parks that everyone has talked about here, we just can't attend them. You know, the Loma Verde Park that's up there, the SDG&E Park that you want to call a park, there's no grass. Even the Pop Warner team can't practice there because those spurs and the kids are constantly getting hurt. There's potholes. It's more of a hazard than an activity area for them. The areas where kids can walk to and from school is very limited. We have a huge traffic problem in front of our schools. Our kids can't even get in and out of school on time because parents are driving everybody to school. We're working on that, but it's very apparent to why they're not sending their kids walking. Access to fruits and vegetables. We have a very limited amount when you talk about that Palomar to Oxford and 3rd Avenue area. We have liquor stores in our areas where kids are trying, our parents are trying to get fruits and vegetables unless they walk over to further down to Albertsons or Northgate and so forth. And who's going to try to carry 10 bags of groceries? It's very difficult. When I talk about the school area also and the activity for these kids, after school, when the time changes right now, it's okay, but when the daylight savings time clicks over, I have to sometimes go to the gate to let the kids out at 6 o'clock when they get out of the after school programs with the flashlight for my phone because the lack of lighting that's out in front. So there's no safety, the traffic issues, the safety issues. We really need someone here in our area that can take a look at these areas and understand what's happening in our community and how we've been neglected for so long. the SDG in E Park, I wanted to talk about the activity there as far as, again, we talked about the homelessness, the safety issues, the no lighting in the area, and then no bathroom. So it can't be a park. You can't spend more than an hour and a half there with the kid if there's no bathrooms there. So we cannot call that a park. It's an SDG in E place for our electrical lines. Oxford is the next closest area. And we already know what's happening there at Oxford. A lot of people have already talked about that. But as a community, I'd like us and also our representative that's selected in this area to really take a look at that and get that park back and offer the resources. Like she said, it's not about kicking the homeless out. It's about finding resources and bringing it to light and getting our other community members, because they do live here, the support that they need. I think I talked about my boys, but I didn't mention my wonderful husband, who also volunteers hours and hours in our community as a football, Pop Warner. He's on the board, but he's also a coach. He spends a lot of time in our community working with the kids, but again, it's a struggle. There's not enough activities. There's not enough recreation centers. There's not enough affordable recs where our kids can attend. And so we have very small limited. We're trying to pool kids to get into Pop Warner so they can get some exercise. Even in our schools, you know, the wrestling teams compared to the other side and things like that. Let's not lose our kids. Let's do what we need to do in our community so our kids stay in our community, can learn, can grow healthy, and prosper with their families. I believe I covered everything. I did it right. I think I got my interest in there and everything. So thank you.
I want you to point on the map where the SDG&E park is.
It's this one right here.
Down there.
Right there.
Okay. So you said about Castle Park. Were you saying keep Castle Park together?
I think
keep this area down here together.
Well, our interests, so basically. Yesterday we had a speakers training for families. And over 35 members came to Castle Park Elementary to hear about this and to see what's going on, and super excited. But you know what? It's a Saturday. Parents have a lot of things to do, and we're just growing this community. It's really hard to get them involved, but they are interested. You're going to receive a lot of letters from this group. But we need to think about what works for our community. If you really want to get what's the answers and the mapping that you need, let's do what's right for them, not what works for us. Sometimes we got to take a day off and we got to make it work. But morning, during the weekday when their kids are in school, believe me, this whole lobby would have been filled if all 30 of them would have brought our kids. But we need to do what's right for them. They want to be part. Our community is ready for change, and we have to be inclusive of everyone. And so when I talk about the area, I mean from down here, the Otay area, up to H Street in the Hilltop area.
The reason why this workshop on the west side was scheduled here at Mac Project Charter School in the morning was to reach out to the parents who have children to bring their children, and maybe that wasn't communicated effectively, but we want all the families here. And so our thought was, instead of having a workshop at 6 o'clock at night where most parents would not be able to attend, we wanted to have the workshop in this area on a Saturday morning, so that way the families could come. So anyway, next up is George Rodriguez. George?
There you go, and here's the point. Okay, good morning, everybody, and I want to thank you for giving us time to speak out our opinion about how we want this thing done. There's a lot of good speakers that came out here, and I give them a hand to them. I was born in Mexico, and when I came to the United States, my dad, my mom brought us. I feel blessed, okay? I think my kids are the first generations to be in this country, born here. My oldest son is in the Air Force Reserves. We live in San Diego, and all three of them were born. But we came to Chula Vista in 1993. We bought our first home. I work for the San Diego Unified School District. I've been there 31 years. I drive around a lot. when there's a roll call, in other words, a bus breaks down, I see what streets, what's going on in the schools. I scan. I learn. We moved to Otay Lakes. I mean, Otay, over there on Palm Street in 03. We kept our house in Chula Vista. Well, we moved back here. And I know the difference between Chula Vista and South San Diego and North San Diego. This is a very small city, and we love it. And I didn't get involved. I didn't start thinking. I mean, I see things that need to be improved, and a lot of people brought it up. And I didn't know how to get involved until Jessica went knocking at the door and invited me to get involved a little bit. I'm a very busy person. Unfortunately, I get involved with a lot. Just right now, I came from a little game for my grandson. And all my three kids, my son, my daughter, and my younger son, they went to Chula Vista High School, Middle Hilltop. And so I've been here since 1993. But one of the things that I see east of 805, because I have relatives that live in East Lakes, the streets are with bike lanes, more lights. You come into a stop, you see a sign already on the street. Stands out. But on this side, no matter where you're at, the streets are old. They need a lot of repair. That means that right here, we've been here, a lot of people have been here for a long time, but they pay the same taxes. Okay? Ever since I've owned real estate, I see appraisers, how they value properties. Well, this right here, you can't go and value a property here to over here. It's because of the freeway on the other side. My challenge is to educate my kids so they could learn more about their city, how to vote, what their rights are, a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of things that we want in life, but we really have to start getting our kids involved. I myself, like I said before, I'm blessed that my parents brought me here. And I did 25 years with the Army National Guard. I work for the city schools, like I said before, and I see schools in certain areas of San Diego that are better than Logan Heights. And I was raised in Logan Heights, next to the Chicano Park. And right here on the west side of the 805, a lot of the schools and parks that a lot of people brought up, it's true. I know that a lot of the owners that live on this side, they've been paying their taxes, just like the people over here. Of course, they pay more taxes because of the value of the property when they bought it. But we do need money on our streets, lights, and schools and parks. And I hope that there's more meetings like this, and I hope it spreads out because we need to get involved. We need to know. And I just want to make it very short and simple that I'm glad I came. I just came from a little league with my grandson, and they won. But I was on one of the parks over here, the baseball field. I forgot the name of the street, and it's very different. I mean, very green, very clean. The buildings for the bathrooms are better, and we normally have the games on the field of the middle high school, Hilltop, and we have to go through the dirt and stuff like that. As far as the district for the Chula Vista, I'm not too familiar with it, but I work for the San Diego Unified School District, and I get involved. I mean, I know what's going on because I drive around, and like I said, I see schools from La Jolla to Sherman and Logan Heights, but I also see the schools right here versus the ones over here. Lights over here, streets over here, same thing over here. We're past due for more improvement and see results. We do need that. Thank you very much.
Don't walk away. Is that when we were back there looking at the map, we were talking about where to divide West Chula Vista, what made sense, west-east of 3rd or north-south of L Street or H Street. So you had an opinion about that, just real quick.
Okay, west of the 805, to be honest with you, I don't know how far down south, but west of the 805, there's some streets They're not even paved. And those houses have been there for a long time. They're not even paved. And you know what the value of that property? It's lower than the ones that have streets. I mean, sidewalks. I'm sorry. Sidewalks. The streets that they don't have no there's homes that don't have sidewalks. That's what I'm trying to say. So that value of that house is less than the house a few blocks away because they have sidewalks. So to me, 805 West, I live in J Street right now, and East J Street, about a few blocks away from the 805. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. One bicyclist got killed not too long ago, about 2 years ago, and I think everybody's heard that. He was riding home right after work. It was a stolen car. The guy was on drugs. My two sons got their car hits, just parked.
No, pero good to see you. Which one?
805 L Street North.
Okay. Because you did have an opinion. I wanted to make sure everybody heard your opinion. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Our next speaker is Maribel Iniguez.
Buenos días a todos.
Permíteme así.
Gracias. Perdón, buenos días a todos, principalmente a este foro que muy oportunamente viene a escuchar nuestra opinión y nuestras necesidades. Y pues ahorita que yo estaba viendo la intervención de todos los compañeros, me di cuenta de la tarea tan difícil que ustedes tienen. Tenemos una área que si la estuviéramos... Ah. Ok. Tenemos una área que si la estuviéramos viendo otras personas de otra parte muy diferente dirían, ok, ¿este es un país? No, es una pequeña ciudad. Y la diversidad que tenemos de los intereses económicos, culturales, las necesidades de educación, de salud, son muy diversas. Mi opinión va a ser muy general, pero al mismo tiempo yo quiero que ustedes se den cuenta, estoy segura, perdón, de que se están dando cuenta de la tarea tan difícil que es y lo importante que es la intervención de todos nosotros como comunidad. Yo vivo en Rancho del Rey. Es en esta área. Entonces, a mí en lo particular me gustaría que mi área, que es esta, se mantuviera unida, porque nos unen intereses de cultura, económicos, de familia. La mayoría de nosotros somos familias con hijos jóvenes, que tenemos necesidades de educación, que tenemos necesidades de deporte, que tenemos necesidades espirituales también, de como les decía, de cultura, bibliotecas, y vivimos en un área muy favorecida. Y al mismo tiempo, como la mayoría de los compañeros han dicho, es triste ver qué gran diferencia hay entre estas dos áreas. Eso es muy triste. Todos pagamos los mismos impuestos y yo creo que si estas áreas están divididas en intereses, como ustedes lo están haciendo, lejos de dividirnos, nos van a unir. Porque la mayoría de personas que vivimos en esta área somos personas interesadas por el progreso personal, familiar y de toda la comunidad y de todo el país. Entonces, como les decía, mi opinión va a ser muy general, pero al mismo tiempo, a mí me gustaría que aquí hubiéramos más personas. Yo estoy muy gustosa de participar, porque en pocas ocasiones se tiene esta oportunidad. Yo les doy las gracias a todos ustedes porque nos están escuchando y porque están teniendo interés que en otras partes no se tiene. No voy a mencionar lugares, pero en otras partes no se tiene esta oportunidad. Entonces, como les quiero remarcar, nada más, yo en lo particular estoy dispuesta a colaborar con ustedes como voluntaria para lo que ustedes necesiten, llevar la opinión de mi comunidad hacia ustedes y llevar este sentimiento a las demás personas, porque su tarea no es fácil. Entonces, pues no sé si tengan alguna pregunta o pueda yo aportar algo más, pero pues con esto yo creo que concluyo mi intervención.
Muchísimas gracias, señora. Okay. And I want to congratulate Paola. Señora Iniguez is affiliated with ACE, and we're glad to have her here. So for very quickly, if we can, just give a summary. Can you want to come up here and just give a little quick summary of her testimony in English?
Okay, now I'm confused. You want it in English or Spanish? Well, what she says is that she lives in Rancho del Rey, and she lives on the a very well-set community, and she knows that. She recognizes that Rancho del Rey is a great area, but at the same time, it's sad to look at the difference, the big difference, the big gap in between the West and the East Chula Vista. Talking about the East Chula Vista, there are many things that the population over there, they share family, social, cultural, and economic values. And she wants that area to stay together so they are not apart, because what she wants is more improvement on the West Chula Vista. And they want to see people united, they want to see people together, but keep the community on interest.
That was basically it. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Okay, next up is Salvador Garcia.
Gracias por la oportunidad de darme mi opinión. Mi nombre es Salvador García, vivo por la calle Segunda, en medio de la Quintard y la Orange Avenue. Una de las principales causas por la que he venido es porque mi familia y yo tenemos 2 años que llegamos a vivir a Estados Unidos, por la gran oportunidad y la gran variedad que nos da de progreso este hermoso país. En todos los aspectos, trabajo, educación, tengo 2 hijos en la Caso Park High, y mi barrio, Mi barrio es el Castle Park, y principalmente me estoy dirigiendo a esta área, ya que mis hijos transitan por la calle Quintard. Aparte, vivo en un complejo de aproximadamente 1,000 personas, y como ese complejo, aquí ya vemos, hay muchos departamentos con esa cantidad de personas. Lo que me preocupa es la seguridad del área, ya que constantemente están circulando los estudiantes a la Castle Park High y a la Middle. Y por ejemplo, cuando es el cambio de horario, que es anochece más pronto, se ve cómo vienen los muchachos inseguros, asustados. Me ha tocado ver porque allí transito para ir a mi trabajo y constantemente hay robo de carros, quiebran vidrios y eso es día tras día. Y lo que más me preocupa es que al transitar por esas calles he visto condones tirados también ahí en ese lugar. Entonces, la principal necesidad de mi familia, de mis vecinos, es la seguridad y el control del tráfico. Aproximadamente cruzan, estuve un día de curioso y conté los niños que cruzaron de la Miro, de la parte sur a la norte, para entrar a su casa de estudios, fueron más de 400 niños que cruzaron inseguros. No tenemos señalamiento ni en el piso para que diga un despacio escuela, no tenemos avisos de a qué velocidad tenemos que transitar y no tenemos luces preventivas para en un momento dado evitar un accidente. Entonces, mi preocupación, les repito, es la seguridad por el futuro de nuestro país, que son los niños y los jóvenes. Agradezco infinitamente la atención y el tiempo que nos regalan a todos los residentes. Sabemos que tenemos forum en el City Hall, pero muchas veces por cuestiones de trabajo, cuestiones de familia, no podemos asistir. Sí me gustaría opinar si hubiera más oportunidades que nos dieran como esta en todo la ciudad de Chula Vista. Pienso que de alguna manera nuestra opinión y nuestras necesidades van a estar más cerca de ustedes. Gracias y les reitero mi infinito agradecimiento.
Muchísimas gracias, señor. Basically, he was saying that he lives in Castle Park, but his primary concern is about the traffic and the corridors that affect his children, his grandchildren, all those who go to the school here, the lack of safety with regard to the transit. For those of you who don't know, is that Broadway, Main, these transit corridors, Palomar, this area here has tremendous high density traffic, and what he's concerned about is the lack of proper signals, lack of traffic control measures, so that way the people can go to school, the children can go to school safely, and the people can cross that area safely. Is there anything else? That was basically it, no? Okay. Next up, we have Joseph Hernandez. Joseph?
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for listening to us. And I hope we can get something done with all our petitions that have been brought out today. I live in Otay, which is right here, right in this area where we're standing right now, 4th and Montgomery. I live at 1614 4th Avenue, the corner of 4th and Montgomery. I've lived there since 1944. I'm 72 years old, so I lived in that area 70 years. So I've seen all the changes that has been brought Otay. And right here, in fact, where you're sitting right now used to be a dairy land, a dairy farm. And so across the street used to be the Smith people that had horses. In my backyard have horses, now I have apartments. I saw everything grow from ranch, a land, to orchards, to pig, hog ranch, to dairy farms. I've seen it all just fade away to what we have today. In 1975, Chula Vista wanted to annex with Otay, and the promise at that time was, if you let us go annex with Chula Vista, they would promise us that we would have paved streets, street lights, underground facilities, and all that was done and put in, and I thank Chula Vista for that. But the promise that they didn't give, that they promised us, and we still haven't got from 1975 to today, is that they put the underground for all the, so when they say they're going to take all the telephone posts out. So they did. They took one right in front of our house, and I said, great, it doesn't look ugly anymore. So when the underground came through, I saw the men working out there, and I said, when are you going to connect to my house? They said, oh, you're not going to get any connection, at least for 25 years. And I said, well, why? Because he said, well, Chula Vista is not going to do it for at least 25 years. Now, here it is, well, how many years later, since 75, that we still don't have underground connected in front of my house, even though it's all in there. What they did real nice is put a telephone post on our alley. All the wires are going to all the different houses instead of our underground that is there. We can't use it. We paid for it. But the promise is still not, we can't connect our house. Since 75, in 91, I built another house next door to my other house. In other words, what I had to do is the pole that's in front of my house has the wiring going to my house. Now, the house in the back, which was my first house, I cannot put wire across from the pole to the house because I have it upstairs and the wire would hit my house. So what they had to do is go through my attic, feed the wiring from the pole through my attic, come out the back of my house, and feed it to the other house because the underground they won't let me use. So commissioners, I just want that promise back to me and to all of us that on 4th Avenue. I'm one of the oldest living persons there. So everybody that's living there, because the orchards and everything, nobody was there at that time, they know about this promise that was made to us. So everybody I talk to, they, it's mostly apartment people anyway, they have no idea that what the owners know today. And I don't think the owners know what the promise was made to us because we went to Chula Vista as an annex. We were always county before that time, because the promise was made to us that we can use it underground, and to this day we cannot use it. And I have another friend that lives on Main Street in the 3600 block. To this day, he said, and he's been there as long as I have, he said he still doesn't have sewage going to the sewage from his house. He has to have a septic tank because the Chula Vista won't connect him. So I'm just bringing those two petitions out to you today, hoping that the commissioner will listen to us after all these years and get something done. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Senor. And as we can see by all of the testimony that's been given today of a lot of grievances by those who live on the west side, and hopefully the districting that we undertake will address some of those issues, and that's what its intent is all about. So our next speaker is Edward Aparis. Edward?
Hello, good morning. My name is Edward Aparis. I'm from an organization called CIPANET, which stands for the Civic Education Policy Advocacy Network. We're also partners with ACE, ACLU, and other members in the community to educate, but also bring the community together. And I've actually been to all the commission public hearings, so if there's like a prize at the end, like a stamp, you know, like a gift certificate for $10 to Starbucks, I'll be open for that. But I know there's budget issues too, but like, so there you go. Thank you, the budget constraints. But I also want to thank the commission as well, Chairman Torres, the rest of the commissioners. Definitely the demographers. I actually had an appointment with them, with our other community members, with Jamie Clark and Karen McDonald, and they've been very, very helpful. And so I would encourage everybody to access the districting access sites, as well as the city attorney's office, the communications specialist for Chula Vista as well, and the communications outreach consultant. I wasn't planning to speak today, I mean for this session, but I realized after going to all the public hearings, I organize with the Filipino-American and larger Asian-American population in Chula Vista. And what I realized after hearing the public testimonies today that we all share a common history. Like hearing some of the stories, it reminded me of the stories of some of my Mexicano relatives. I do. There is a large population of Mexicanos out there. And so for me, it reflected the common experiences and the trials and tribulations that we all had coming to Chula Vista. Chula Vista was a home, a hub for many of us who didn't live here, but for our parents, especially my parents, to come and thrive. I actually live in Eastlake
area.
So, but ironically, I went to school in Chula Vista Junior High and High School while I was living in National City. And part of the motivation for that, because when I was a child, I opened up a yearbook and I saw in Granger Junior High that three kids died. And so I was telling my parents that I wanted to be in a place where I could thrive, where I could learn. So I enrolled in the School of Performing Arts program in Chula Vista, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, running into gang members. I could just carry my clarinet case with me and not get harassed, because I know people don't think clarinet players are cool, but that's okay. But I wanted to reflect that some of the members that we spoke to in the API in the Asian American community talked about a corridor around East Palomar Street going up to Otay Lakes Road, and it's called the Asian Pacific American Cultural Economic Corridor, APACE. But I really want to emphasize that, you know, when I mentioned about the diverse, the first session I mentioned about the diversity in the Asian American community, it runs along the same line with the diversity of all of Chula Vista. Because I know many of my Mexicano relatives talked about that part of Chula Vista where you have a restaurant like MJ's that fuses Mexican food and Filipino food together, which is probably not good for your health, but hopefully we can resolve the issues in these parks so people could go ahead and run and play and be outside. But I also want to emphasize, too, that in many ways, a lot of these public testimonies in these areas do reflect the differences, the disparities in this city. And even though the corridor along East Palomar Street and La Media going up to Southwestern College is in the west side of Chula Vista, many members in the community that we spoke to hope that this corridor could be a model for all the parts of Chula Vista that could add to the entire socioeconomic engine of Chula Vista. And then hopefully once the districts are properly created that reflect the realities of the politics in this diverse area, that some of whatever energies that come out of these different parts of Chula Vista could somehow be harnessed and raise the entire city to a certain level that everybody benefits from the economic fruits of the city. So I'm not sure how my time is, but I again thank you for listening to my little rant. I didn't have anything prepared for this, and thank you again.
Thank you, Edward. Next up is Teresa Acero. Is Teresa here? And here's your pointer.
Okay, I'm Teresa Acero, and actually I've lived in Chula Vista for over 20 years, and I live currently in the southwestern part of Chula Vista over on Hilltop between Orange and Maine, in southwestern Chula Vista. And actually, for the last 7 years, which is how long the organization's been in existence, I've been president of Southwest Chula Vista Civic Association. which has been trying and actually has succeeded in getting some changes in southwestern Chula Vista to improve some of the things people have been complaining about today. And it's obvious, obviously, that the west side, both south and north, have many, many things in common. But I would say the southwestern Chula Vista in particular has these historic communities like the Otay community. I mean, and there are actually some communities along the closer to the Otay River that have been there since this was Mexico. It's really very old communities. And obviously the people who live there haven't been there that long, but I mean, the communities have been there and the whole feeling of community has been there. Otay is a very old community also, just in, well, at least pre-World War II, Broderick Acres, you know, all of them. And Castle Park is also a very important community. And actually what this entails is south of L Street, essentially. And south of L Street because this is a community that was annexed the latest. And so we have very specific problems, all of us that are in this specific area that need addressing. And we need to be a separate district. So essentially it's, and we go all the way down to the bayfront also, because as someone commented upon, there are very few houses south of 5, but there is actually a dirt road there, even. So it's not just a matter of not sidewalks, and they're actually, some of the streets aren't even paved. And it's, this is, well, there are some other streets that are not paved either along Main Street, going over that old Palm Avenue there. And it's, you know, and all of these things require attention. And having this community represented by one council person will facilitate this. And I know over the years where we haven't had that, and going to council and showing movies and all this other stuff, you know, I mean, we've probably embarrassed them to do some things down there, but it's like, it's not as strong as if we actually had a person on the council that lived there and that actually represented the area. That would be to our great advantage. And then having somebody also in the northwestern section of Chula Vista that lived in the western section as a separate vote would give us two votes, which would be to our great advantage. And I mean, we need that. And I would hope that, I think that, you know, if we had from the south, like I say, from L Street to somewhere around 805, or even some of the streets that are a little bit east of 805 there, like up to Brandywine, or even the those older businesses that are harassed all the time, that are over there by the landfill. And they do get harassed by the city. No matter what the city says, the city in the past used a lot of eminent domain. And of course they can't anymore because we actually helped get past Proposition E, which we are not allowed anymore to have eminent domain for the benefit of developers. I mean, obviously for public things like roads and stuff, you know, they still can. And it's like, I mean, if you'd like to get involved, please give me your contact information. I'll put you on my email list at least. And then you'll know about our meetings. And if you'd like to come and get further involved, you'd be very welcome. And I will provide you with my contact information if you give me your contact information. If you have an email, that's great. I send out emails all the time. And I do speak and read Spanish, and so I will be happy to try to accommodate anybody who needs that service as well. And like I say, I am we've discussed this at our meetings, and we would very much like to see, you know, the bayfront on one side, Otay River on the other side, and L Street on the far western side as a district. And then I say, as far as 805 goes, some of those communities just east of 805 are fairly old communities as well. And, you know, just so that we get up to the number of people, whatever it is, 66,000 or, was it 66,000 or 70, it's about a quarter, 60,000? About 60,000. I think we probably have that because we have a lot of population density.
I want to make sure that Ms. McDonald, this is the country club. This is Al Street.
This is Al Street.
So she's talking about coming basically
all the way here.
Using the 805 as a border, using Al Street where the country club is, all the way to, okay?
And I think we have a sense of community there because we found that over the years. And when we have the historic presentations about that, people come, and people in their 70s and 80s, and they talk about how they remember the dairy farms and the pig farms and the chicken farms. I mean, we had the man who had all chicken farms all over his entire block. It was and his father was a chicken farmer, too. And they, it's fascinating, the history of this area. You know, and it's historically been a community, and it needs to stay a community. Thank you.
Okay, our last speaker, unless anybody else wants to speak and hasn't filled out this form, but our last speaker is Armanda Gallegos.
Muy buenas tardes, mi hermano es Armando Gallegos, yo soy miembro de la comunidad, soy colaborador, soy voluntario de por 20 años, ¿verdad? Mi hermana también trabaja con ustedes. Les doy las gracias por estar aquí oyendo nuestras peticiones y quiero enfatizar un poco más acerca de lo que es el parque que está en Loma Verde. Este es un parque donde muchos jóvenes van a dar su tiempo ahí, caminando y señoras y señores, pero no hay servicio de drenaje, no hay un baño. Y todos los demás niños que están ahí en el playground y todo, algunos jóvenes van y hacen en las alcantarillas, ¿verdad? Entonces, yo soy un exboxeador profesional y soy auténticamente corredor profesional también, ahorita. Y voy y corro yo de entre las 5 o 6 de la mañana. Y también quiero enfatizar un poco por el alumbrado. Y a mí me gusta correr cuando sea a la madrugada para agarrar el oxígeno puro, ¿verdad? Y pues ese parque tiene un poco de áreas que están incompletas, ¿verdad? Pero están en reservación, no sé por qué sean de GNA, ¿verdad? Pero un señor ahí dice que él donó todas esas partes y quieren que ese parque sea para la juventud. Yo lo que deseo es un poco más de canchas, ¿verdad? Unos planes para fútbol y baño. Y hay una área de para corredor, ¿cómo le diré? De campo travieso. Entonces, que sean cerradas esas de campo travieso. Son unas montañas que suben y bajan, pero está cerrado el área. Y ya pertenece a parque, yo creo, de Loma Verde. Lo que me gustaría que todo Loma Verde sería junto, para que aquí los jóvenes de la comunidad vayan y participen o les apoyemos a que no anden con cosas, con los demás gente, se reúnan a jugar, se reúnan a comentarse algo y ya no yendo por las calles se vean con malas caras o se desconozcan y se enfrenten, como han pasado en muchas partes de aquí de Chula Vista. Esas son mis únicas invitaciones para ustedes. Muchas gracias.
Permíteme, señor, ¿dónde está el parque? Enséñanos en la mapa. ¿Loma Verde, sí. ¿Dónde está?
Es el mismo parque que ahí.
Ahí.
Es una reservación que hay en una orilla, que no tiene sanitarios ni tiene canchas.
Okay.
Entonces, de acá está la Loma Verde. En Loma Verde sí, pero es una parte más reservada para los...
Okay.
Okay. Los estudiantes.
Okay. So basically, and again, Ms. Villegas, you want to translate? Or basically, was the whole testimony was centered around this park, the inadequacy of no lack of bathrooms, lack of proper planning to do things, you know, play soccer or the trails around there, and so his focus was on that park. But
yeah, he's He says that his name is Armando Gallegos. He has been a volunteer around the community for around 20 years. He would like to talk about the Loma Verde Park Loma Verde Park has no restrooms and no sewage. It's not sewage connected. He's a professional runner, and he would like to request street lights. He said that he runs sometimes between 5 and 6 a.m., and it's dark. And especially she wants to encourage the youth to go to the park and have, like, being involved into sports and activities. But the fact that they don't have the services, sometimes the children, they need to go to the restroom in the park. And this is his comment. He's a professional runner, and he that's it.
Okay, so before we conclude the meeting, is I want to open it up to general comments to see if anybody would like to take this opportunity to say anything else aside from your testimony. If you would like to talk about today, about the process, about us coming back, or any opinions that you may have of what has happened today or what you think should happen moving forward. So I just want to open up. Two districts on the west side. That's basically it for mostly everybody. You want to see two districts on the west side. Keep it intact. Paola?
I think for us at the very beginning, like, we saw very clearly that, or from our members, like, we saw very clearly that there was a lot of
Right, so as I said earlier, for those who weren't here today, when we do our mapping on the 24th and 25th, we're not going to do just one map. We're going to do at least two, possibly three, because there's many ways to look at this, okay? And everybody has their own perspectives of how to do the districting. So whatever we do is, I can reassure you, it will be fair, equitable, and just. So I've made that point at most of our workshops, that whatever we do will be fair, equitable, and just, and representative of the cultural diversity of this city. So I want to make that point again. Teresa, you had your hand up. Okay. Okay, last speaker. No, stand up. Okay. All right. I want to say thank you so much for taking your Saturday morning off to be with us. Remember, we're going to come back after the maps are put together, and we want you to talk to your neighbors, your family, your friends, and bring them all here, because you've expressed some very strong opinions, and we want you to keep expressing those. Again, muchísimas gracias, señores, y ten buen día.